I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 20 years in business and just entering our seventh year of doing this program. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2014 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on our publication and events tabs. We also always get emails, hey, can I get a copy of this topic from the past or want information on this? You can find that at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our website. We also have a brand new book, Cracking the Business Code. It's available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icon on our homepage. Lighthouse has been growing at a very rapid pace over the last 36 months, and you can read more about it on our website. Our topic today is strategic planning for the rest of us. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and then we'll be jumping right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time, at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement to bring effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to avoid getting stuck in shallow waters so our clients have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to many of the calls that we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. And we do have an audience that is from all over the world today, and want to welcome everybody. Our goal is to make this an interactive program. So on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. So you may want to write down two or three questions to either send in during our program or to ask once we open the line up. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you can consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Brian Okun, who's a longtime friend and a client who has a 20-year track record as a successful president and CEO. Having effectively guided organizations through aggressive revenue growth to sustain profitability. Throughout his career, he has been involved in managing, operating, and strategically positioning companies in the public and private and family sectors. He's well known for improving the profitability of organizations while also creating great places to work. Prior to opening his own business, Brian spent two decades running manufacturing and service-based businesses as president and CEO. His accomplishments include significantly growing income and cash, being listed on the Inc. 500 5,000 fastest-growing company list, engaging in international strategic alliances, and the launching of numerous successful new products. CEOs, presidents, and business owners call on Brian as a trusted advisor to help grow their companies, make better decisions and greater returns, and create the highest performing workplace cultures, which is so important in today's economy. Wherever you are in the world, retaining your A and B players within the proper culture is key, because you don't want to lose them. I feel privileged to have Brian Okun with us today to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be small data, big data, and the right data, and take advantage of your data. Brian, welcome to Open Line.
Thanks, Dana. Hello, everyone. I really appreciate the opportunity to present today. Hope everybody's doing well. Let's just jump right into it. When when I ask business owners and CEOs what they want, they say they want a higher performing team that gets it, operates with a sense of urgency, gets things done. I also hear that there's too much going on. I can't keep track of it all. And everybody is looking for more sales. Every company will always have issues, challenges, opportunities to deal with. The questions that we face and the questions that we have to answer is, what's the best way to deal with all the stuff that goes on in our businesses every day? And how do I control the future so it won't control me? I face these same issues throughout my career, and I learned the hard way how to deal with them. I'll give you a little bit of background. I was 29 years old and just promoted to run a unit of a $2 billion public company. I took charge, started working really hard trying to fix the business. We were losing sales each year. Cash flow was non-existent. Equipment and products were tired and irrelevant. Employees were just really trying to survive. After 6 months, I was exhausted. I couldn't tell you week to week what the priorities were because everything was a priority and I was running 24/7. We were making marginal improvements financially, but nothing like I had envisioned. And that's the key. It was that I had envisioned the level of success for the business and we weren't there. So, you know, I'm banging my head against the wall and I kept on saying to myself, there's got to be a better way. So I realized at that point there were a couple of things. First, I couldn't do it all myself, and I can't remember everything that was going on. And then it just became clear. A goal without a plan is only a dream. At that point, I completely changed my approach to managing the business. Ultimately, we turned that business around, grew it substantially, and did it again with another company. I came up with my approach to strategic planning from my own experiences, running companies, dealing with people, dealing with issues. I've seen the good, I've seen the bad, I've seen the ugly of planning processes. But I'm here to tell you that strategic planning is a fantastic tool to get better results. And whether you're just learning about strategic planning for the first time or whether you've done it many times in the past, I'm sure you're going to get something out of our conversations today. The problem that, you know, you deal with when a concept's been around a while is that people either don't know about strategic planning, some are intimidated by it, some think it's too complicated. It's not. If you've had a bad experience, I'm sure we can uncover the reasons why. What's my purpose? Why am I doing this? Of all the things that I can be doing after running businesses for 20 years, I believe that companies can be and have both a great workplace culture and achieve better than industry financial results. What I found is most companies either achieve great results, but that have cultures, workplace cultures, that are just harsh. Spend a little time looking at Glassdoor.com and you can see all the examples that you want. Or I found that companies have great cultures but mediocre financial results. Great companies possess both, and my approach to planning is based on having both. They're not mutually exclusive. Most of you are leading small to medium-sized businesses. You have a million things to do, limited resources, not enough time to get it all done. Does that sound familiar? You know, as I told you in my story, typically our logic tells us as leaders that we need to do more. You know, always try to do more. It's about the amount of work we do. We try to bring in the quality, but, you know, lots of us define ourselves by the quantity of the work that we do. Our need to do lots of things creates chaos among our teams. We don't even realize it because as leaders, we're running around like crazy people trying to control and do everything. We're trying to get those results. Stop. I'm telling you, stop. In the long run, it doesn't work, nor is it sustainable. Planning and plans help you professionalize your organization and improve your effectiveness as a leader. I know it's true. I've lived it. I've seen it with the clients that I've worked with. Let's talk about a strategic plan and strategic planning. A strategic plan is a document that tells you what to do, how to do it, and gives you references on the progress you're making toward your goal. It helps you manage your people and set priorities for better results. Strategic planning is a process you use to end up with a plan. To do strategic planning well, it's not a single person process. It's a collaborative event where you pull all the brain power, insights, observations, hunches, best case scenario, worst case scenarios that your team possesses. If there ever was a time to get it all on the table, this is the time. You know, and while the process is structured, it doesn't have to be complicated. This is about strategic planning for those of you who don't want 3-inch binders full of small print, charts, graphs, etc. We believe in simplicity and eliminating waste, but that doesn't mean that we believe in simple thinking. Planning is important for so many reasons. You can see them listed here. Lots of companies have a problem with saying no. Have you heard of the saying, too much of a good thing is a bad thing? That goes for just about everything, including new ideas that bombard your business every day. We're always, you know, thinking about new ideas, reading about them, contemplating what we just heard or seen or heard somebody speak about, how it can help us. You have to decide which ideas do you pursue, which do you dismiss. Having a plan is a check and balance of what your company does well and what it doesn't and where it should be focusing its resources. The plan helps you say yes with confidence to the ideas that you love and gives you the reassurance of when to say no. A great strategic plan isn't just for the management team. Plans should be shared with other managers, directors, key employees, and should be used as a reference for them to make better decisions on a daily basis. I hate it when plans get completed and sit in a drawer. I've been a party to that. I know how that works. When a plan is easy to use, it's quick to reference, it's shared with the people in your company, the chances of success and you achieving your goals are multiplied. So let's start thinking about creating the plan itself. I want to spend just a little bit of time here. You know, as a leader or person who's in charge of planning, before you even have your first planning meeting, there's a couple questions you need to answer for yourself. First is, what's your goals and objectives? Is it having a certain amount of sales growth in a time period, like, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 2 years? Maybe you want to sell the business. Maybe you have a desire to be the biggest in your industry. Maybe as an owner, you're financing a lifestyle. Or maybe you're trying to ensure a family legacy. Whatever your goals are and your objectives, make sure that you figure them out at the front end right now. Numbers. You have to have a baseline to start from. It really helps to know sales for the past 2 or 3 years, gross profits, if you're able to get net profit, that you're able to allocate all your costs, great. You should know your cash flows. Even better is if you could go one step further, knowing the profitability of your product or service lines, having knowledge of customer profitability, and sales by your distribution channel. Again, whether you're in service or manufacturing or another industry, knowing what generates sales in your company and understanding the profitability of those channels is really important. Knowing your true customer costs, it can dramatically change the strategies you choose. For example, say you want to grow your customer profitability 15%. You develop a sales and marketing program that's intended to generate more profitable sales from your highest profitable customers. But what if you make a mistake because your analysis wasn't done well and you inadvertently create a program that entices your least profitable customers to buy more of what they're buying, your low profit products and services? Terrible. You need to figure out where your profit comes from and understand that as you go through this process. Management team. You have to have a group of people who can implement effectively. You know, you can go have the greatest plans and the greatest cost reduction and sales growth strategies in the world, but you have to have a great team to make it happen. Make sure you have roles and responsibilities for each of your team members. I spent most of my career creating great places to work, and it starts with people understanding the expectations of them. And it's not just functional achievements, it's also appropriate behaviors. If you don't have confidence in your management team, I'd encourage you to get the right management team in place. That's something certainly Tina and I can help you with. Preparation. Be committed to the time it will take to prepare. It won't take long. Don't skip it. It's vitally important you do these things on the front end. Oh, and when it comes to scheduling meetings, please set aside 2 consecutive days for the planning process with your team. I've seen companies that do, half day here, wait a couple weeks to another half day, wait a couple weeks to another half day. Sometimes, even stretch it out for 3 or 4 months. I've found from my own experience, set aside 2 full consecutive days for the process with your team. And then at the same time, calendar 3 at least half-day meetings each quarter following up your annual meeting for reviews and updates. Step 2, SWOT. Most of us know SWOT, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And most all plans include some sort of SWOT analysis. I won't go into great detail or depth about it because, like I said, most of us know about it. But a SWOT analysis is critical to the plan because it's a check and balance against what you develop for strategies and action items. For example, if your strategy is to develop 12 new products in 1 year and you've identified a company weakness as lack of innovation and creativity, your strategy might be well-intentioned but not realistic for the time period. Making sure the strategy, checking the strategy against the SWOT analysis, will give you the confidence that you're headed in the right direction. Step 3, vision. Vision comes from asking questions. Questions like, what's your purpose? Why does your company exist? Who's your ideal customer? What are your proven objective competitive advantages? What industry trends are taking place, and what's the long-term goal that you came up with earlier? When you start, thinking about all of these things, in your mind a picture develops. We think in pictures. The vision is an articulation of that picture of your successful business at some point in the future. Again, I'm not trying to make this simpler than it is. It really can be as simple as, try to articulate what's the picture in your mind. If you can, try to picture something 10 to 20 years out. Your vision is the what. The rest of the plan after the vision is the how. Some of the some company vision examples that we can go through, Walmart become the worldwide leader in retailing. Amazon Supply is a data company in the industrial products, building products segment. Their vision is, I love it, to supply everything needed to rebuild civilization. I mean, how great is that? To supply everything needed to rebuild civilization. And then, there's been so much talk about Southwest Airlines over the years, but still, to champion the cause of a common man. So those are all great visions. Strategy is all about the how, as I said earlier. Choosing the correct hows is vitally important. Because if you choose incorrectly, you'll find yourself wondering what happened, just like I did earlier in my career. This reinforces why having such a clear vision is so important. If the vision is clear and compelling, choosing the right strategies is much easier. Focus on how the strategy will make your company stand out from your competitors. What activities will you employ that no one else does? Having a me-too strategy doesn't accomplish anything. it just makes you as good as, if you're able to execute it, just makes you as good as probably somebody else. Figure out a way to differentiate yourself. Make certain your strategies have some direct connection with improving the customer experience of working with your company. In other words, you know, your customers will think your strategy is a great idea. So we talk about how important strategies are, and they're the how, but you have to keep them within control. If you have more than two strategies, that's a red flag. There's a lot of risk with that. Why? Because some strategies are a ton of projects, especially compelling strategies. So if you're inclined to have more than two strategies, maybe they're not so compelling. And you have to take a step back and ask yourself, you know, if this is really easy, we need to think about something that's a little bit more significant, a little bit more compelling. If you have too many strategies, you spread your resources too thin. You spend cash on projects that don't get done. It also forces you to stay committed if you stay with one or two. And again, it depends on your business size, I understand. But, you know, you really need to focus on the most important plans of actions.
That's a really good point. So the energy is all focused. Brian, we have a question that came in, and I encourage those of you attending to throw questions in as we're going along, but we'll also open up the line at the end of the program. Question,
sure.
Don't strategies talk to the obvious?
Yeah, you know, no. They shouldn't. Oftentimes they do, but they shouldn't. One of the people I follow is a guy named Roger Martin. He says a great strategy should make you somewhat uncomfortable. And a lot of us just understand that, you know, intuitively. But great strategy is about, he says, great strategy is about placing bets and making hard choices. I'm trying to remember, not minimizing risk, but increasing the odds of success. So to me, you know, a great compelling strategy requires some thought and should force you to stretch. You shouldn't be comfortable with, when you really hit on a compelling strategy, it should create some energy. And some uncomfortability, and that's okay in being uncomfortable. That's okay. Some examples of strategies, some outcomes are IKEA's method of displaying furniture in their showrooms. There's an oil changing company called Jiffy Lube, and their adherence that all they do is change oil. Most of you in certain parts of the country are familiar with In-N-Out Burger. You know, they had the discipline not to match their competitors' broader offerings. So those are all good, enduring strategies. So after strategies, we get into implementation. Implementation is where the rubber meets the road. This is where plans fail. If your company has the reputation of not completing when it starts, you may want to use one of your strategy quotas on how to create a culture not to get distracted. This is where they fail. People finish the planning sessions, they pat themselves on the back, they take a deep breath, they walk out of the room, and they go back and do the same thing that they've always been doing. You got to complete what you start, and in this case, completing the planning process through implementation is an absolute requirement. Speaking of requirements, three requirements are associated with implementation and execution. There's a personal responsibility. Somebody has to own the different components of the plan, whether they're action items or the strategies themselves, the goal. And there has to be a by-when date. You know, any assignment, regardless what it is, whether it's in planning or whether it's in just general conversation with your subordinates or peers, has to have a by-when date. You have to finish please provide this to me by Thursday at 5:00, rather than just please provide this to me. And it's vitally important in strategic planning that you have a by-when date. And the third requirement is you need some measurements to benchmark your progress. I'm just looking at these other bullet points. One of the things is, are you taking the results for granted? Your people do a lot of work. They put a lot of effort in trying to generate the results that implementation is supposed to achieve. And I see it over and over that leaders just expect those efforts to be given. Please don't take your people's efforts for granted. Celebrate, recognize, do some kinds of rewards. We'll talk about that a little bit, toward the end.
Brian, I want to interject. That's a really important topic you just brought up, because I know some companies where they'll have departments or units work on something really important for planning purposes, and they've spent days or months on it. They have their presentation all together. They're all excited and can't wait to present it to the senior team. Then something happens, senior team gets busy, and they either don't look at it at all or they give them literally 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the responsibilities of leaders to make sure that things get done. It's making sure that you channel people's efforts, recognizing them, staying disciplined. It's all just part of good business activities, regardless of whether you're doing planning or managing any kind of project or just general business acumen. You gotta be sensitive and reward and recognize the efforts that people are doing on your behalf. They're also doing it on their behalf, but it's to the plan that is trying to achieve your goals. So going on measurements, employees want to know, like we were talking about just a little bit earlier. Employees want to know, what are we trying to achieve, and how are results going to be measured? Keep in mind, and this is to our points earlier, highly performing companies are made up of employees that are challenged to do great things. They're given the autonomy to do what needs to be done. They are treated like fully functioning adults, and they have ownership and connection to a purpose. They feel that they make a difference. I can't emphasize that enough. Employees want inspiring bosses. They, if they have subordinates, have to be inspiring bosses themselves. Challenged to do great things, given the autonomy to do what needs to be done, treated like fully functioning adults, and have ownership and connection to a purpose. Vitally important to get the kinds of measurements that you're looking for. You have to communicate what progress is being made in genuine, tangible ways that's understood by your employees. Stay out of the corporate lingo. Make it simple for people to understand what it is that you want and what it is that they're supposed to do. Some examples of metrics, just off the top of my head, complete on time, customer satisfaction, market shares for manufacturers or days of inventory on hand, freight costs, and just general outcomes. It's all in addition to, of course, the standard income and sales and things like that.
Brian, a question just came in. What's the difference between goals, strategies, and action items?
Yeah, everybody asks that question. It's one of the things, if you ask that question to five people, you'll get five different answers. I try to keep it simple. A goal is what you want to achieve. For example, I want to grow the business. An objective is quantifiable. So you take that goal and you say 15% growth in 3 years from product category A. A strategy is the plan of action that you use to get there. And then you get into tactics and action items, tasks, all those terms. They're the to-dos, right? That's the grunt work. That's the guts of making everything happen. So we could speak for hours about the definitions of each of those, but in its most simplest terms, that's the way I try to define them.
Okay. Thank you.
Follow-up. Step 7, planning's the easy part. Quarterly follow-ups are a must. You will face unexpected obstacles, I guarantee it. I lost something here. What happened? Let's head back into, we're in measurements. There we go. Okay. So you will face, as I said, obstacles. When you go through follow-up, you have to know what's working. You figure it out. You realign what's not working. And then that personal responsibility, the accountability of getting things done. There has to be individual and department goals as well. The strategic planning process can't be just at the corporate level. It has to go down throughout the organization. And then following that is two-way meetings with managers. And you want to make sure that the plan is communicated throughout the whole organization. It doesn't stop with the management team. It doesn't stop with the subordinates of the management team. It doesn't stop with the people who report to those people.
Brian, before we go to this slide, a question just came in. What are the most common unexpected obstacles?
Market shift. Competitor makes a move that nobody had anticipated. Initiates a price war, takes your largest customer. I hear that that's the one that people dread the most. You see some consolidation that goes in the marketplace. Other obstacles, economic. Clearly something happens that you don't anticipate. You can have obscure economic influences like the value of the dollar if you're an international business. What happens when the dollar is strong versus when the dollar is weak? You have no control over that. You can plan all day long, but you should be thinking about your plan A's and plan B's. So that's some of the obstacles. You can have key people from your management team leave who are responsible for getting a significant amount of activity done. So the obstacles are as many as you can think of and anticipate.
So that goes back to going. So somebody doesn't go crazy on the whole thing. Or do you take the top three and then focus on that as a contingency plan?
You could. Again, I like contingency plans, but the purpose of going through your annual plan on a quarterly follow-up is making sure that you stay relevant and realistic to what's going on within your business and the trends in your industry. So plans are flexible. There's people who think that, I'm writing a plan, I'm committing myself, it's like concrete. Absolutely not. You need the discipline, but you also have to deal with the reality that, life's not a script. And we can't just act it out exactly the way we wrote it. So looking at your plan every 90 days and taking stock of the things that may have changed, the obstacles that you deal with is really important.
That's very
wise.
Thank you.
So once the plan's completed, the leader, right, must present the plan to the company. We've talked about this a number of times. It's a recurring action item that needs to take place. It's part of, again, creating that culture of engaged employees, enthusiastic employees. They want to know what's going on. They don't like being in the dark. You have to have staff meetings no less than twice a month, and you have to make the first items on the agendas of those staff meetings strategic items, not fires. a staff meeting, a management team meeting that has the agenda item of, a problem that occurred yesterday is not a strategic meeting. And there's other times to have those kinds of meetings. Management team meetings with a leader and executive team should be focusing on strategic issues. If you're a creative company, create a theme. Follow some kind of theme, determination, motivation. There's a million different things that you can come up with to try to make the planning process less sterile. And again, never miss an opportunity to celebrate successes. Never. There is a downside to planning. I know that, as much as I think it's a great tool and it's very effective and it's helped me personally, sometimes strategic plans fail. And they fail for a host of reasons. As I said earlier, the primary reason is a lack of follow-up on a regular basis by the leader of the company. Too many goals, chose the wrong strategies, lack of discipline. Other reasons, not having enough resources. Not having enough resources, I will guarantee you that you will think that all kinds of things to do, and I'll guarantee you that very few will actually get done. So, again, it gets back to staying disciplined, trying to go through the new ideas and thoughts and plans, that you read and see, and stay focused. So now here's the real interesting question. Do you do it yourself, or do you bring in an outsider, a consultant? If you do it yourself, there's no question you're going to save money, at least on the shorthand. It doesn't mean you're going to save money in the long run, but you will on the short run. Might be a little short-sighted. But if cash is your issue right this moment, yeah, you'll save some money. You might have a distrust toward outside consultants. Maybe they just haven't lived up to your standards and expectations. I would ask you, whether you had a role in that. Maybe expectations weren't clear before you started working with that consultant. Maybe, the deliverable wasn't set. Who knows? And company employee, if you do it yourself, you as a company employee control the process. Rather than it being left to a consultant. If you do bring in an outside facilitator, they're experts at this. There's a skill and a knowledge transfer that goes to you as a leader and to the participants that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Viewpoints are objective rather than having to deal with influences from things going on with the business. A facilitator can tackle favoritism, double standards, agendas, political issues, and it takes they can be the bad guy. So it takes it away from that company employee or the CEO or the leader from having to be, put into an awkward, uncomfortable position while you're trying to create teamwork and energy and, cohesiveness. And then the facilitator, his or her entire focus should be on to discover what's the best course of action for the company. And that all ensures follow-up and personal responsibility.
Brian, a question just came in on that topic. If bringing in an outsider, how much time should be expected for them to spend understanding your business, goals and objectives, and market before the actual meeting takes place? Because the strategic planner is not just a facilitator, I take it. They're doing more than that, aren't they, or not?
Sometimes not. Part of that step one, right, discovery and things like that, if you're using an outside facilitator, that's where you're having that conversation. You're asking those questions. And during that process, a good facilitator is asking many more questions, and they're really looking for root reasons why certain things happen in your business. They're, you know, they move away from being superficial. So, I would hope that you set aside 2-3, maybe even more hours initially before you even start the planning process with your team, that you'll spend time with that facilitator trying to give a very accurate position of what's going on in your company. Good facilitators will tell you this, that once the meetings start and they're facilitating, they'll find out within about 15 minutes the difference between the picture that was painted from their initial conversations with the CEOs, business owners, leaders, and then the realities of what the employees feel is going on in the company. So, you know, a good facilitator is going to make sure that initial conversation, again, whether it's a couple hours, a day, whatever you as a client may want to or are comfortable with, it's really important that the truth comes out at that point.
Somebody has asked for apparently my voice had faded. The question that came in was, when bringing an outside facilitator, what are the expectations for amount of time for them to spend to get to know the company, the marketplace, et cetera, or do you just expect them to come in and facilitate? And that's what Brian was responding to.
Yeah, again, same thing. It depends. Certain companies, the leader wants the facilitator to interview management team members and get their perspective individually. Other times, the CEO just wants to jump right into it. I like to find a happy balance between both. As the process goes on, experienced facilitators have had exposure to a lot of industries, lots of companies, so they do bring some experience with them. The idea is to figure out what's unique to the individual client that's going through that process. So hopefully that answered that question. So summarizing everything that we spoke about so far, effective planning is about keeping things simple, being in control of your future. Your plan must be clear, communicated often, reinforced. Just because you give you have a company meeting and you present the plan doesn't mean that you've fulfilled your obligations as a leader to communicate. It has to be ingrained in everything that you do. I mean, that the plan is the reason why decisions are made, right? So planning improves internal communications, again, because everybody's working together toward the same goals. They're sharing progress on these follow-up meetings. We spoke about plans being flexible. They're not cast in stone. Even though there's commitments and discipline, there is a reality to running a business, and part of the process is building in that flexibility. So the last two things that really are close to my heart, you really can create great workplace cultures through planning. It's a combination of the mindset that the leader takes and the actions and behaviors that actually take place, and planning reinforces those. And the bottom line, when it's all said and done, planning helps you achieve your goals faster, you make better decisions, and you achieve your results. So, Dana? Go ahead.
Brian, also, you brought up a really good point on communication, because when a group is so focused on ideas and have put all this time and effort into it, and then all of a sudden it gets sent out to the rest of the organization, it has to be a very clear and deliberate message, because others were not sitting in the room and they don't have all the background that went with it. So there needs to be time and effort. Otherwise, people will be scratching their head and go, thinking, oh, here these guys go again.
Yeah, you know, the program of the month syndrome. That's the discipline, and it falls back on the leader. You know, it can't be delegated. This comes from the CEO, the business owner. That emphasis on discipline, on getting things done, on seeing things through, on setting priorities, it's vitally important for that person to be managing that process. Because yeah, your people, if you have that kind of culture where every month something new comes, they're just going to zone you out. You know, they'll focus in on what they get measured for, in their annual reviews, and it'll be just exceptionally difficult for the management team and the business leader to make the progress they're looking for from a planning standpoint. And if the purpose of the plan is to achieve your goals, and you don't want to be banging your head against the wall like I was doing for so many years, you know, you have to realize that you can't do it yourself. You need your people. And you need the people from top to bottom, not just your core little management team. It's easier, but it's not effective.
That's very good advice. And another question just came in. Do all companies need a mission statement as part of their strategic planning process along with the vision?
You know, when I read that question, I started smiling because that's a very controversial question. Mission statements are in vogue, out of vogue. You know, you look at companies' websites and most companies, they'll show a mission statement. You don't see a vision. And you kind of sit back and ask yourself, you know, why? Why don't you see visions out there? You see mission statements. You know, we've been trained to think that mission statements are shorter period kinds of statements, and vision statements are long term. So, you know, put out the stuff that your company is working on right now. If a mission statement works for you, great. If you do planning well and you choose compelling strategies and you have a clear vision, your goals are laid out specifically with objectives, you know, that's what you should be advertising to your customers as well as your employees. Do you need a mission as well? Some companies, you know, their employees really know their mission statement. They can recite it, memorized. Most of the time, that's not the case. And I would, you know, if I'm putting my time and energy as a leader of a company, I'm communicating my vision. I'm communicating the reason why we're making the decisions we're making. I'm communicating our strategies and our objectives. And you know, I know that there's effective mission statements out there. Again, we can do it. I tend to put less importance on them.
It was interesting. I was at a client the other week, and they actually, for a department, they came up with a mission statement just for their department, which was, we are a problem-solving department, and we don't say no.
Yeah.
That's a very powerful concept because what they found was when people were calling their department, too many people were saying no versus let me get back to you with a couple of options of how we can help.
So that sounds great, but then I would ask, is that a mission statement or is that a training issue? Right? So, you know, should the mission statement be more of, you know, how do we train our employees to be able to live up to the expectations that our customers have when doing business with us? So, you know, again, I think that's great that company took that energy and that department and created that mission statement. That's really good. And in that case, I think, you know, having that mission is great for that department. It gives them something to coalesce around. I would also like to take it one step further. And again, that one step further gets into that vision and, you know, really what are we trying to achieve? even for that department.
Let's, this is a terrific program. Brent, why don't you go to the last slide? We're going to open up the line in just a minute so you can talk directly with Brian. We'll have an open dialogue. We're going to do that in just about 60 seconds. I'm going to turn off the recording equipment in just a second. I want to thank Brian so much for a terrific program. You'll see on your screen our upcoming September 16th open line. It's entitled Small Data, Big Data, and Right Data. Take advantage of your data. It's going to be an amazing discussion. Please sign up today. Reserve a space for yourself. Let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend or other CEO group members. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint of today's program. Please feel free to share it with your team, others in your organization, or within your association. Again, I'm going to open up the – I just want to close this part of the program down. I will open up the line in just a second. But, Brian, I want to thank you for your time today. For all the valuable ideas that were shared. If you want to contact Brian directly after the program, you'll see his phone number and email address, and Brian has a brand new website which you can check out, and you can spend some one-to-one time talking with Brian about the ideas that were talked about today or anything else going on within your industry or within your organization. Thank you again for attending. If you would like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know, because the open line programs are so well attended and growing globally because of the feedback we're getting from everybody. And we really appreciate you all joining our Keeping on Track open line program today. So let me turn off the recording feature, and then we'll be right back and open the line up.